The legal fallout from pandemic-era policies in Germany is drawing sharp international criticism. At the center of a heated debate over what critics call the brutal persecution of doctors are high-profile detentions, specifically those of physician Dr. Bianca Witschel and defense attorney Dr. Rainer Füllmich. In the United States, these arrests have been met with absolute horror. Joining us now via Zoom to discuss this is Leland Lehrman. He is the CEO of the U.S. health organization MAHA and an advisor to U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy. Dr. Lehrman recently traveled to Germany to personally visit imprisoned members of the Courageous Doctors Movement. Leland, thank you for joining us and a very welcome, warm welcome to you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Let me just correct the record.
I am not the CEO
of MAHA. MAHA is a movement. There are no CEOs in the MAHA movement. The specific organizations associated with MAHA that are trademarked, I'm not the CEO of those either. I was the founding executive director of the MAHA Institute. In addition, I'm not a doctor. I am just a concerned citizen, an American, and I have a lot of faith and hope in the German people and the European people, and I'd like to help them, and I'd like you guys to help us in the ways that we can to overcome this kind of international tyranny system, which was developed over the past 100 years and was implemented during COVID.
Okay. So, Leland, you have become a strong international voice for the doctors and activists imprisoned in Germany over their pandemic-era resistance. What drives your personal commitment to this cause?
Well, when I was very young, my parents, I had a baby nurse who was German, actually. And so she was a very important figure in my life. And so I have a sort of sense of love for her and German people and the German language. She taught me a little bit of it. And then later on, when I was in my teenage years, I discovered the history of psychology and the role of literature, authors like Hermann Hesse, great figures like Carl Jung. And I realized that the German-speaking heritage was not just famous for its engineering, but was also a land of beautiful literature and incredible psychological depth. And I resonated enormously with that. And then over time, I also began to understand its cultural contributions, its fight for freedom, both religious freedom and intellectual freedom. And I identify with both of those movements as well.
I'm sure the Germans will be happy to hear that.
Well, you have an enormous cultural history, which was somewhat obscured by the events of the 20th century. And I'd really like us all to be able to bring some of that magic and philosophy and poetry. I know the saying you have, which you'll be able to speak properly. It's something like the land of Dichter und Denker, yes?
Das Land der Dichter und Denker, yes, exactly, yes.
So, well, Leland, I take that very seriously. Yes. I identify with both of those very much.
So, Leland, you recently traveled to Germany and went inside the prisons to meet with Dr. Bianca Witschel and Dr. Rainer Füllmich. What did they tell you and what are the main impressions you were taking back to the United States?
So here in the United States of America, we receive conflicting reports about what's really going on in Germany. And so I started to work with the German-speaking people, in particular after Beat Zirpel, who is the social media campaign manager for AfD, came to Bobby Kennedy's victory party when he and the president together won the election. And I say that advisedly because it was Secretary Kennedy's presidential campaign which drove not just the awakening of the masses to the problems with the vaccinations and the mandatory lockdowns and all that, but also drove the president's election. The margin of victory that the president secured in the 2024 election was largely a result of Kennedy voters crossing party lines and voting for the president along with the secretary, who was then joining the transition team. I say all this because if it weren't for Bayat, I wouldn't know anybody in Germany with whom to have the discussion about what was really going on. So, you know, at the time, we had our own problems in the United States of America. But because I have this sort of special love for Germany and this special faith in its culture and in its intellectual and spiritual traditions, I wanted to do something. So when Bayat showed up that night, I immediately started talking to him, and then I asked him if he would please put me in touch with Michael Ballweg. Michael Ballweg. The Querdenken movement. And I wanted to know what was going on with him because he had produced a very inspiring march in Berlin, which Bobby Kennedy had spoken at. So step by step, I began to meet people in Germany, and everything that they said corresponded with what I had been hearing about the Rainer Fulmisch case and about the inordinate levels of persecution in Germany. And once I was sure that everything was just as the rumors suggested, I decided to begin making plans to visit the persecuted doctors and to visit Rainer Fulmisch in jail.
So how was this meeting? I mean, what did they inform you about? Is there, can you talk about that, or is that restricted?
Yes. And, you know, of course, both of them want the people to know just how unjust the prosecution is. And I actually think it's very important to note the fact that, in particular, Bianca Vitchell's case is a violation of the Nuremberg Protocol, as well as the Geneva Convention, as well as Germany's own law regarding doctors treating patients according to their conscience as opposed to according to the dictates of the state. This is actually German law. Not only is it German law, but it is also the code of the German Doctors Guild. So what they told me was primarily inside details about their legal cases and how they can move forward, what the story is with their lawyers, what the story is with the case, what the next steps for them is going to be. And then I was also able to ask certain questions regarding Rainer Fulmisch's case in particular, because there's still a lot of international confusion around the very complicated circumstances of the Corona Committee, the various lawyers and members who were involved, what roles they played in the prosecution, as well as the complex relationship with the intelligence services and the prosecution of Rainer Fulmisch. So very complicated, and yet the ultimate upshot is that this was a politically motivated case. The prosecution was supported by the Verfassungsschutz and the domestic intelligence services, and they used illegal means to extradite him from Mexico. And we think that the case deserves international attention, and that in the event that he would like it, I'm prepared to advocate that Rainer Fulmisch received asylum in the United States of America if he so chooses.
Okay, so you already answered my next question, so I will skip it. I'm going on to the next question because you have extensively talked about that.
Sure.
If we look across the Atlantic, the Biden administration also put intense pressure on pandemic critics. From your perspective, would a crackdown like the one we are seeing in Germany have been legally or politically possible in the U.S. under Biden?
It was definitely politically possible under Biden. There are no prosecutions anymore, but that's because the Trump administration has decided to stop the prosecution of doctors who were protecting patients properly during that time and providing them the ability to work and to function in society without subjecting themselves to an experimental and dangerous medical procedure. Under the Biden administration, the censorship was egregious. The weaponization of the Justice Department was egregious. Under the Trump administration, most of the worst aspects of that are no longer happening. But there are still states in the United States of America which are pulling the licenses of doctors for providing the same services that Bianca Vitchell and other doctors in Germany were providing. So the fight is not over yet in the United States of America. It was already pretty bad even before COVID, with lots of vaccine mandates that were inappropriate and a completely inadequate vaccine adverse event reporting system. The side effects, adverse side effects, were swept under the rug. The government pretended like they didn't exist. Women and their children who were injured were frequently mocked and ridiculed and provided with no support. And a lot of that is changing now, but it's not happening quickly enough. It cannot happen quickly enough. Unfortunately, the whole public health establishment has been subverted by the eugenics operation from the 20th century, which went underground explicitly by its own statements in its own record. And unfortunately, we still face the legacy of the 20th century eugenics programs, which began in England and the United States of America under the Rockefellers. And the circles around Julian Huxley. The Wellcome Trust in England is also involved. But unfortunately, the worst situation that was ever experienced happened in Germany. So this is an international problem that we still have to face.
Is this mostly going on in the so-called blue states? Or
yes, mostly so in the so-called blue states are fighting to preserve vaccine schedules at the same outrageous levels, the ability and the rights of the state medical boards to take the doctors out of circulation who are providing proper medical exemptions for the dangers of the side effects, and are generally politically still unwilling to acknowledge the violation of fundamental constitutional and human rights posed by all of the measures that they were so so publicly in favor of during that time. The Democrats consistently voted in the United States House and Senate on a party line basis to extend the mandates and lockdowns indefinitely. If it wasn't for the victory in 2024, we would still be largely in the same place that Germany and most of Europe is. Censorship problems, science dictatorship, mandatory vaccines still imposed by executive order or congressional authorization. It was an absolute crisis. The Biden administration was a total disaster on this, on the health front in particular.
So looking forward, are you or Washington planning to send official trial observers to the upcoming hearings in Germany? Or do you foresee any potential diplomatic intervention even?
Diplomatic intervention already has happened in the context of the relationship between Bobby Kennedy and Nina Varken of Germany. That's an active conversation. And the HHS diplomatic community is actively involved in the case. I can't speak to exactly what their plans are. I don't know. And if I knew, I wouldn't be able to say. But the reality is that the United States of America, we take our self-governance very seriously. We're not waiting for the government to make determinations about what needs to be done. Part of the reason why I'm so active is because the political situation in the EU is untenable, and the march towards war with Russia is an absolute disaster. And we're noticing that the very controversial, but actually on the right side of history in this particular situation, the AfD political party and the conservative parties in Europe are the only parties who are against the war with Russia. And so we ask the citizens of the EU, How can you be criticizing as far right the parties that are actually trying to prevent war with Russia? This is an absolute historical anomaly, and it should really wake people up to consider that fact carefully.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Over in Europe, we are seeing the EU tighten restrictions on free speech, often citing the so-called European values and public health. How is this trend being viewed within the immediate circle of Health Secretary Kennedy?
Well, you know, I'm not supposed to use foul language on a major broadcast, but I have to say that that is just completely untrue. It's an untrue characterization of what the EU is actually doing. This is a pretentious, false claim. The EU's claim to being, to be representing European values is false on the face of it. The EU is largely an emergent property of the Enlightenment. Whether or not you're a religious person or not, it's clear that free thinking and censorship are completely incompatible. I have no idea how the citizens of the European Union are supposed to respond to this with anything other than ridicule and opposition. It's just purely propagandistic misstatements. There's no fact basis to the idea that censorship supports freedom, free thinking, enlightenment values, or anything like what the European Union was formed to support and what the European project over the last 400 years has been trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
And in that regard, the United States of America is very much a product of the European religious and scientific revolutions. We are all dissidents over here from Europe, and the indigenous community would feel exactly, the indigenous community of our part of the world would feel exactly the same way if I may take that liberty. The idea that censorship somehow supports freedom is crazy on the face of it.
So it is important for the U.S. what's going on here in Europe, of course. It will affect the U.S. as well.
Yes. Well, since 1913, the banking system of Europe was imposed upon the United States of America. And very shortly thereafter, we were dragged back into the continental wars that many of our citizens, their ancestors, came here in order to escape. So, you know, we participated in those wars in good faith, but after a long period of reflection, I think many of us here in the United States of America no longer view our participation in the European conflict zone as being in our best interest. And we would like to make peace with Russia ourselves and make peace with Germany directly. We'd like to have direct relations with the independent sovereign nations of Europe. And quite frankly, I support personally, and many other people in the United States of America support a return to European sovereign nation status and an end to the bureaucratic federal system in the European Union. I don't think it's serving the nations of Europe. I don't think it's serving the citizens of Europe. And without like a complete overhaul, it just doesn't look like it's helping you guys anymore. Maybe the economic cooperation zone is a different matter, but the political integration is not going in the right direction.
Yeah. So my last question, Leland, is Under Secretary Kennedy, the U.S. is seeing a massive shift in health policy, including top-down reviews of vaccine guidelines. Where does that debate stand right now, and do you feel the American public has become skeptical?
Yes, actually, the polling shows that the American public is extremely skeptical, not just of the COVID vaccine, which very few people are even getting anymore because the word is out that it's dangerous and almost everybody has a horror story in their own family. But as a result of that and the massive publicity around vaccine adverse events that COVID created, the entire vaccine schedule is now up for review. The president just issued an executive order trying to harmonize the U.S. childhood vaccine schedule with best practices around the world, with a special focus on Europe, where the vaccine childhood vaccine schedule is much more reasonable. Now, that doesn't mean that this is the end of the line. And we're certainly not going to those of us who for whom this issue is very important at the intersection of both political persecution as well as health freedom, and quite frankly, health itself, we're not going to stop at just a casual review. And the fight has really just begun, even here in the United States of America. I would say that the initial phase of public pressure has succeeded in beginning the process of institutional review within the government, but that process is much more slowly happening than I would like it to see. So although I'm planning to, you know, come to Germany and to Europe again in order to support the efforts there, we still have an awful lot of work in the United States of America to do. And we also have many, many, many injured people. And right now, just today, there is a hearing in Senator Ron Johnson's subcommittee on permanent investigations on the link between the COVID vaccines and turbo cancers. So we have so much healing to do here in the United States of America, and we have so much health policy that we have to change in the United States of America, that our focus on Europe is mostly going to be, trying to stop the most egregious abuses of power, and especially to enable the dissident community to stand on its feet and to help the citizens of the EU and in specific each European member country to take back its own sovereignty as well as its own health policy.
Thank you very much, Lilian. Thank you for the great insights, for the very interesting talk. I'm sure our audience will very much appreciate your insights. Thank you very much.
Well, I hope so. And it's been a real pleasure. And thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you.